This is your Polycast for Wednesday, March 1st, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, differences at the Capitol on the budget, and members of Congress want more details from President Trump. Governor Mark Dayton is bound for Rochester later today for final consultations ahead of surgery tomorrow morning to remove a cancerous prostate. Brian Baxt has more.
Dayton revealed in January that he had been diagnosed with prostate cancer. It was detected during an annual health exam. The DFL governor chose to have the surgery rather than undergo radiation or other treatment. It will sideline him for at least a few days.
I talked to friends and others. Everybody's recovery is, you know, individual. And so, you know, he's just going to have to wait and see.
The governor says his plan is to leave the Mayo Clinic on Saturday. Dayton, who is 70, says how he feels during his recovery will dictate whether he's back at the Capitol early next week or works from home for a bit. Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News, at the Capitol.
State finance officials released a revised economic forecast yesterday that shows the projected budget surplus has grown to $1.65 billion. It's the eighth straight forecast with a positive balance and a $250 million improvement from the previous forecast in early December. Lawmakers will use the new number to begin shaping a two-year state budget that will take effect in July. But DFL Governor Mark Dayton and Republican legislative leaders have sharp differences over what to do with the money. Tim Pugmire reports.
Minnesota management and budget officials say the state's financial outlook has improved, but significant risks remain. The risks, they say, are from inflation and federal policy unknowns, including likely Trump administration changes to health care and trade. Governor Dayton greeted the new numbers with a strong note of caution.
The uncertainty surrounding this budget forecast demand extreme caution and restraint from my administration, the legislature, and various affected interest groups. We have worked hard to achieve these budget surpluses. They must be preserved.
Dayton is particularly concerned about the impact of big tax cuts on the long-range budget picture. His tax proposal is a relatively modest $300 million. Republicans are pushing for significantly bigger tax cuts. They also want significantly less spending than what the governor is proposing. GOP Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka said tax relief is a priority this session.
You've heard us talk about small business property tax relief, ag property tax relief. We talked about Social Security income exemption. We've talked about tax credits for student loans. There's a number of things that we're talking about.
Neither Gazelka nor House Speaker Kurt Dowd would say how much of the projected $1.65 billion surplus should go toward tax cuts. But Dowd stressed that he wants to return a lot to taxpayers.
We're obviously continuing to collect more money than we need to operate state government. State government is growing faster than family budgets. It's growing faster than Minnesota's economy. It's time to get those numbers in check.
Dowd said the Republican budget proposal will include some key investments in education, health care, and transportation. But he suggested that other spending areas could be ripe for cuts.
We need to look at the entire state budget and make sure that we're conducting the business of the state in the most effective way possible, that Minnesotans are getting bang for their buck, that they appreciate the services they're getting. We're doing it efficiently as well.
The Republican legislative leaders acknowledged the federal uncertainty highlighted in the forecast, but neither would say if some money should be set aside this year to cushion a potential loss of federal funds. DFL Senate Minority Leader Tom Bach said he thinks the latest $250 million addition to the surplus should be held in reserve.
I don't want to use the word warn or the word caution. Let me say I would like people to exercise some restraint as we go forward.
Republican House and Senate leaders will soon set their targets for spending and taxes based on the new forecast. Governor Dayton used the previous forecast, which showed a $1.4 billion surplus, to put together his budget plan. He said he won't announce any revised spending proposals until mid-March. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
In his first speech to a joint session of Congress, President Trump last night repeated promises to boost military spending, deport people in the country illegally, and repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. In contrast to his inaugural address, where he spoke of American carnage, the president last night expressed optimism about the nation's future. As you might expect, the response from Minnesota's congressional delegation was mixed, as Matt Sepik reports.
Gone were Trump's usual verbal slings and arrows. Last night, members of the House and Senate heard a restrained and hopeful Trump. In the hour-long speech, the president returned to his campaign themes of restoring manufacturing jobs, boosting infrastructure spending, cracking down on violent crime, and strictly enforcing immigration laws.
I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength, and it is a message deeply delivered from my heart.
Minnesota Congressman Tom Emmer, a Republican from Delano and an early Trump supporter, says it was a great night for the president, and he set exactly the right tone.
He talked about trying to get Republicans and Democrats alike to work together. You know, he talked about doing great things, not small things, doing great things, being bold. He talked about breaking the cycle of poverty. Who can be against that? Breaking the cycle of violence in the inner city.
Emmer says Democrats in Congress need to set aside partisan differences and work with the president on areas of common interest. He expressed optimism Trump could win over skeptical Democrats once he provides more details of his policy proposals. The president called for $1 trillion in public and private spending on roads, bridges, and other big construction projects. Congresswoman Betty McCollum, a St. Paul DFLer, says she'd love to work with Trump on infrastructure, but she wants to see the fine print, in particular, what may be cut to pay for it.
Details matter. They matter greatly. So to ask me to blindly promise to go along with something when I don't know what the reality of that holds in the future is something that my constituents don't expect me to do. In fact, they've told me not to do it.
McCollum says she's also willing to help with improvements to the Affordable Care Act, but remains concerned about Republican promises to repeal it without an adequate replacement. Representative Tim Walz also says Trump's speech was short on details. The DFLer won re-election last fall in a southern Minnesota district that Trump carried by 15 points. Walz says the president's push for job creation is something no one can disagree with. But he says there's a lot of apprehension in farm country about what Trump's threatened tariffs on imports will mean for agricultural exports.
If you think that we're going to put tariffs on and they're not going to retaliate, you do not know much about international economics. And so I'm very, very nervous about that piece of it because it doesn't start with shutting off imports from folks. It doesn't start by demonizing every other country. It starts by having some good faith in your trade partners.
Congressman Eric Paulson also has concerns about trade. The Republican was reelected in the West Twin Cities Metro, a district Hillary Clinton won by 9 points. Paulson, who disavowed Trump during the campaign, says he liked the president's messages on the economy and health care. But Paulson says he wanted to hear more about the positive aspects of doing business overseas.
I want to see a robust trade agenda stay on the forefront for our economic opportunity because we have so much potential to sell American goods and services. And that would be the one area where I think there was the opportunity for more focus.
Paulson says the speech last night marked the start of Trump's governing mode. Like Emmer, Paulson says he's hopeful this shift in tone will lead to a new spirit of unity in a sharply divided Congress. Covering politics, I'm Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. We'll